How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Gina.
And I'm Mateo.
And this is This Week in Skating. We are once again coming to you from the World Championships in Montreal. And we've got a few events to talk about with you today. But overall, what do you guys think about how the event is going as a whole?
Well, first off, I can't believe we're already almost done with day three. We have one more day of competition left to go. We're recording this in between the women's free skate, and we've had the rhythm dance earlier today. Yesterday, we recorded as the men were going on, so we'll talk about the men, and then, of course, the pairs free skate. But so far, everything has just been so good so far. The crowds have been great. The skating has been great, some unexpected skating, but I'm just having a great time. I can't believe we're already on day three and with one more day of competition left to go.
Yes, there were a lot of very interesting competitions happening, and we're getting through the all the finals now. We had the pairs final yesterday that we're going to talk about. The women's final is going on as we speak, and there's the last two going on tomorrow. And it's always quite an emotional time of the year for us because you see all the progression of each skater throughout the season, which makes it very emotional for us to be here and witness how well each one of them is doing. And yeah, there's a lot that we're going to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think we will kick it off by starting with the men's event, because that was what was happening when we were recording yesterday. Please excuse any issues that we have or, you know, little bloopers that may appear in the episode. We're doing our best to do this, edit it, and get it out there for you as quickly as possible while still covering the event and, yeah, managing to get a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of running around, and we are recording this from just outside where the press conference room is. There's athletes coming down into their lounge area. We're not too far from the actual like venue, so you're going to hear a lot of different stuff going on. And again, we've been running around, so yeah, maybe we're not getting podcasts to you as quickly as we would like to, but that's because we're doing interviews, we're taking photos, we're watching skating, which is the most important thing. We need to be watching this sport so we know what to talk about. So I haven't seen friends and fans that would like to see us either. It's just been so busy.
Yeah, I want to give a special shout out. I did see Linda earlier. I know she listens to us. It was great to see you, Linda. I didn't get to talk to you, and I didn't get that escalator to be able to get up the hill or the mountain, as I've been calling it.
And then shout out to Jennifer Como. I did get to see her today. I know she listened to our first episode. So I did get to catch her during an ice resurfacing. And I also want to give a shout out to Lindsay Wang, who we had on the podcast. She sent me a text message saying she listened to our first episode. Sounds like we were having a blast in Montreal and she couldn't wait to hear more. So shout out to Lindsay. Thanks for listening.
Okay. So starting off with the men's event, there were some surprise performances in a good way and in a not so good way, because there were some skaters that we've kind of grown accustomed to qualifying for the free skate or just, you know, putting their best performances out here at Worlds. And there are a few that did not make the free skate, like Adam Hagara of Slovakia did not make it. And he's had quite a season straddling between the junior and senior worlds. Boyang Jin, who did not qualify, did not have a great skate. So those are just two names of skaters that did not qualify for the free skate that we're kind of expecting to make it, but they did not.
Yeah, speaking of skaters that didn't have great skates, one especially that we mentioned in our preview episode as being one that could be on the podium here was France's Adam Siho Himfa. Disappointing skate for him. He did qualify for the free skate, though. Hopefully he will have a better skate tomorrow. But yeah, very disappointing for him because we kind of had him in the mix, especially given the season he's had and being the reigning European champion.
Yeah, so let's just talk a little bit first. Shoma Uno, our reigning world champion, came in, posted a high score of 107.72. However, he's only about a point and a half ahead of Japan's Yuma Kageyama, who scored 106.35. And then Ilya Malinin of the U.S. is in third with 105.97. Then there's about a 12-point gap and a bunch of skaters clumped together between 93 and 88. They're kind of clumped in together. So I feel like anything can happen when you look at that. But let's go ahead and start talking about some of the performances and some of the things that stood out from this part of the competition.
Shoma, I think, created some magic on the ice. He got on it and everyone was absolutely silent. There was something happening, something going on there. And it's interesting to see what he delivers and what Yuma delivers. So Yuma caught the audience in a good way in terms of engaging them, getting them through his music and being with him on the program in a more of an uplifted way, so to speak, while Shoma created something more magical, more calm and quiet. But he delivers what we know a reigning world champion like him can do, definitely. So it's interesting to see the contrast between the two of them. But also Ilya Malinin was just there in third place. I think his short program is very well fitted for him. He skates on it really well. We all have fun looking at it. I think there was something at the press conference that was quite weird because he said, I was not feeling 100% coming into this competition. There was something that was not right. He didn't really want to share what wasn't right. But he didn't sound like the preparation into the world championships was what he was hoping for. But surely what we're going to see tomorrow is probably going to to show us something different. We don't know. They're all three super strong skaters that can all do so much. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what the podium is going to look like at the end.
Yeah, and rounding out the top six, our final six skaters that will wrap up these world championships, we have Jason Brown sitting in fourth place. Jason delivered a Jason Brown program. Not much more to say about that. I mean, of course, fans love him, and the fans here in Montreal really loved his skate yesterday. And then Lukasz Brzyski of Switzerland, who has been having, you know, a really good season. He's had some injuries here this season, but he is sitting currently now in fifth place. And then Italy's Nicolai Memola, who is up from juniors. This is his first senior season, not straddling junior and senior. He's finding himself in sixth place after a really good short program, and that's been a struggle for him. And, you know, he can put out one good program and then the other one not so great. So here's hoping he, you know, can have two good skates here. But those are our top six, and then they will close out these world championships tomorrow.
Yeah, there were some other, I think, standout performances too. Nika Igadze of Georgia was pretty clean. And Denis Vasiliev's, I had no idea that he had such a Canadian fan base, but that he got such a response from the audience. They really seemed to love and appreciate his skating. And so, yeah, that stood out to me.
I think we should also mention Donovan Carrillo from Mexico. So he was one of the first skaters to come out on the ice, but he had a fantastic score for him, 80 points, 0.19. And what happened is that he probably gave the audience that fire that they then brought forward for the rest of the competition. So that was quite nice to witness. We know that he's quite a popular skater, but actually to see him come in here, deliver that program, was quite nice to witness. And of course, he qualified, and we're going to see what he's going to deliver in the free program.
Yeah, and Donovan is coming back from injury himself. So it is pretty awesome when you see them go out there and be able to deliver that performance, especially from one of the earlier groups. You're just not sure what the performances are going to look like. So it was awesome to see him be able to do that.
All right. So we'll move on now to the pairs free skate. And I think the storyline for the pairs free skate is who our new world champions are, but Deanna Salado-Dudek and Maxime Deschamps of Canada. And wow. What can you say about that? Other than I'm so glad I was here for it. Deanna is the oldest to win a world medal in any discipline. We all know she has come back after a big absence. She is 40 years old. She is a pair skater. She used to compete singles. Sometimes I think we forget that. She kind of joked around that after the pair short program that she'd come back at 80 doing ice dance, but no, really at 80, she hopes to be drinking wine. So yeah, it was just it wasn't a perfect skate. I mean, she had a little hiccup in a side-by-side in her ending. But other than that, I mean, it was a great skate to have in front of this Canadian crowd who they were standing before that program was even finished. And the big Canadian flag, compliments of Keegan Messing waving in the audience. He's here showing his support for his fellow Canadian teammates. He is no longer skating, but it's nice to see him here. So, yeah, they were, just what more can I say? Just great to have Deanna get that, what she's been wanting for since she came back to skate, is that world title.
And she was extremely emotional at the end of the program during the podium ceremony. Actually, the Canadian Federation has got this very nice thing happening, which is they have a choir that is singing the national anthem live during the medal ceremony. And she started off by singing the anthem, but then she couldn't continue because she was too emotional and she couldn't hold the tears. And it's something beautiful when you see that, because we know how much that means for her to achieve such a dream. And we always remind the age because it's remarkable. It's remarkable. She made history, and that's something that we're not going to forget. But it was great to witness that. It's interesting that in second place, we had the Japanese Riku Miura and Ryuichi Kihara, which won the free program, actually. But the overall score was not enough for them to secure a second consecutive gold medal. They had a beautiful silver medal anyway. They delivered a beautiful skate, very solid, as they're able to do. There was a little drama at the end because they were meant to get to the podium ceremony, and the ceremony was actually quite delayed. We didn't know what was happening, but eventually it turns out that they couldn't make it. They didn't even attend the press conference, but that's because he was not feeling well and he hyperventilated after a competition. So of course, everyone had to take priority to look at his health and make that a priority, which is of course something that we understand. They actually sent someone to the press conference to apologize for that and congratulate the gold medalist.
Yes, I think I remember seeing something on Twitter where his comment was he really wanted the opportunity to congratulate Maxime and Deanna, and he did not get that because of what was happening. It's very bizarre to see a medal ceremony with only two of the skaters on it.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Wasn't expected. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I know there have been instances way back in the 90s where there was a lot more drama when it came to medal ceremonies. Not so much in this situation.
Yeah, when we were waiting for the medal ceremony to start and not knowing what the delay was, because they kept saying, oh, it's only going to be 5 minutes, and it was much longer than 5 minutes. My first thought was, somebody's not feeling well. And I thought, well, Maddie and Evan attended a medal ceremony being under the weather, but this was definitely much more than just flu-like symptoms, you know, hyperventilating. He needed to take care of his health first, and hopefully he is doing well now and will be able to perform in the exhibition on Sunday.
Yeah, and when you look at the skate that Deanna and Maxime did have, and the fact that Riku and Ryuichi had to come out after that with all of that energy, and then they delivered this beautiful, like, it was just, the music was so quiet compared to the intensity of what we saw from Deanna and Maxime, that it almost, the vibe was just so different. But then they came out and they performed it so well. Given all of the ups and downs they've had this season with injury, it's wonderful that they could close out their season this way. I wish they'd been able to be in the medal ceremony. So, moving on, our bronze medalists were very pleased on the podium. The two teams that did get to do the medal ceremony were very, very happy. Minerva Fabiana Hassa and Nikita Volodin got the bronze medal. They moved up from fourth in the short program to finish third in the free skate and overall. Then in fourth, we have the Hungarians, who put together a great performance here.
Yes, we have to remember that after the show program, there were all these teams that were literally a point or two apart from each other, so anything could have happened. The Hungarians delivered a really good program, which allowed them to finish in fourth place, as Daphne said. But for instance, the Italians, Sara Conti and Nicolò Macci, which were originally in third place, did not manage to deliver to the level that they require to podium, which is sad. But you know, as we know, there are a lot of factors that play in, and that's the nature of the sport. One day you are there, and the next day you're a little behind, and it's not enough for you to win. On the other hand, the other German team, Annika Hocke and Robert Kunkel, did so well. They had such a beautiful free skate, and they managed to step up from seventh place all the way to fifth place. So they got two places up, and I think really well done to both of them. They did really well.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say was about the Italian team, as I know they were trying really hard to get that third spot given the depth of the Italian pairs. Unfortunately, were not able to do so with Sarah and Niccolò finishing in sixth place and Lucrezia and Matteo finishing in ninth place. So yeah, we're not able to get that third spot. So it sounds like, again, next year we're going to see these three teams battle for two placements for Worlds next year. So I know somebody's really excited to talk about this next event. Actually, she came into the media room today and she said, do you know what day it is? It's Rhythm Dance Day. She was so excited and so punchy this morning, and she just finished shooting, 36 rhythm dances, 80s rhythm dances, and she is still alive and doing well right now. But what can be said about this rhythm dance other than it was so much fun? I am sad to see the 80s go. I've enjoyed these programs. I talked to all the skaters today, not all of them, but a good chunk of them. And I hope to talk to a few more tomorrow that I didn't get a chance to talk to about this 80s rhythm dance. And but it lived up to it today, getting to see 36 80s programs.
Well, yeah, I was pretty punchy. I'm still pretty punchy after 36 performances. I think the event as a whole was really good. I'm someone who grew up in the 80s, and for me, this music means something. Like hearing some of the songs, it takes me back to a place or when I first heard them or a memory, and I have really enjoyed it. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. I know some people thought it was a terrible idea. It's really grown on me, and I enjoyed 36 performances today. It was great. And I want to shout out to all of the teams, the 16 teams that did not make it. I was thoroughly entertained by your performances, and I appreciate all of the hard work that you put in. It translated to the audience because they seemed very energized. Things kind of continued to grow energy-wise throughout the performances today, and I really, really enjoyed it.
So one thing with the rhythm dance today, I was down in the mix zone for some of the earlier groups, so I was watching some of it on the monitor, but then I met up with my family who came to watch the rhythm dance today, and their seats were pretty close to the ice, and so I sat and watched two groups from next with them, and it was fun to be close to the ice. The media seats are not right near the ice, but it was nice to be there and get to see the energy that these teams were bringing, and they were enjoying themselves. I was seeing a lot of lip syncing and singing along, the facial expressions, just seeing the costumes and some of the makeup and the hair. The hair was on point a lot during this rhythm dance. So again, it was a really great event. Probably the highlight for me so far was getting to see these 36 rhythm dances. And again, as Daphne said, it's unfortunate that only 20 get to make the free dance, because I know there are some really good teams here that did not, or we're not going to get to see tomorrow.
And that's exactly what we keep talking about. 20 doesn't feel to be a number large enough for us to enjoy all the good skating. I was just comparing the results in the rhythm dance from last year's world and this year world. So last year we had 5 teams that went past the 80 mark in the rhythm dance. This year we have 7 teams. Team number 8 is on 79.26. This is a huge step up in the field. The ice dance keeps growing, and we need more spots because there are so many good teams over there.
The level of skating and ice dance has continued to grow, and I know that when they made this rule or cut things down, they did the same thing to pairs. They cut it down because of quality, because of time, and there were different reasons why they were doing it. But I think the case can be made. And I'm looking at this list, and I enjoyed all of these performances today. And if they could at least just add 4, I think that would be great. You know, they look at things as far as warm-up groups. When you look at singles, they're done in warm-up groups of 6. So 24 makes sense. And I know they like to keep things like with these even numbers, but I think it's time to add another warm-up group to the dance event. So, one of the things I wanted to point out is dance is incredibly unpredictable, in case people didn't know. There were 5 teams that qualified for the free dance last year that did not make it this year. That was really surprising. But also, it goes to show the quality of skating and how it's just incredibly competitive. The difference between qualifying for the free skate and not qualifying was 0.5. Yeah. it's that competitive. It was great to see some of the young up-and-comers do so well. We had the Mrazkova and Mrazek from Czech Republic qualify at their first Worlds. We also had Hannah Lim and Ye Kwon of Korea qualify. They were the top two at junior last season, so some new blood coming in. But we should get right to the top of the leaderboard like we did with the other disciplines and talk about Madison Chalk and Evan Bates. 90.08 is quite a high score. I remember when the high score in dance was like 82 or 80. It seems like that was just last season, but that's not the case. So the numbers continue to grow up. Of course, that has to do with elements and the grade of execution and the technical score, like all of those pieces create these scores. But Madison Chalk, Evan Bates have, I think it's 2.5 point lead over Charlene Guignard and Marco Fabbri of Italy. And Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier are 1 point behind Guignard and Fabbri. Ice dance, you think you know what's going to happen, but we really don't know what the performances will bring tomorrow, so we can't really predict. Just under 2 points behind them, Lila Fear and Lewis Gibson of Great Britain, they have been consistently nipping at the heels of these top three teams. I think they continue to inch closer score-wise, and today was no exception. And rounding out the final group for the free dance tomorrow, Marjorie Lajoie and Zachary Laga of Canada. It was great to see them come into this competition and skate so well after Marjorie was out with a concussion. It was that performance entertained the crowd so much. They were so into it. Who doesn't love Thriller? It was one of my favorite songs of the 80s. So it was a lot of fun. What do you guys want to point out from today's events?
So a couple of things to mention, I guess. It's very nice to see some teams having their debut in the World Championships, not necessarily the not having been at the World Championships before. So I'm talking about Olivia Smart and Team Deke of Spain. They are a new partnership, although each one of them is quite well experienced, having skated before and having been to major events throughout their career. They did well. They got 71.81 points and they qualified, of course, to the free dance. But also we can see Caroline Soucis and Shane Fearers, which represent Ireland, although they used to represent Canada. They made history as well for Ireland because it's the first team to qualify to a free dance for Ireland. So it's something that never happened before. And they really enjoyed the fact that despite the fact that they're no longer representing Canada, they really felt that the Canadian fans did not really turn their backs at them. They understood the decision, why they did that. They really felt loved during their skate. And it's something that was quite nice to hear from the both of them.
Yeah, I think overall, so many of these performances were a lot of fun to watch. And I'm excited to see what tomorrow is going to bring. When it comes to both events, the men and the dance. But we need to wrap up so we can get back to the women's event that's going on right now. The next to the final group just took the ice.
Yes, I was kind of turning my head as we were finishing talking about dance here because I was like, oh, wait, here we go. Yeah, the second to last group just took the ice for their 6-minute warm-up. And yeah, I need to get ready to go and go watch that group up in the arena. But yeah, that's how crazy the schedule is. We are just trying to find any time we can to do a podcast for you. And hopefully we will be able to do one tomorrow between the free dance and the men, and maybe tomorrow night after the men.
And just for you all to understand what it means for us when we are at skating competitions, I'm going to quote the title of a movie that was recently quite successful. So when you're here, it's Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
And with that, we've reached the end of our episode. Thanks everyone for listening. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Gina.
And I'm Matteo.
And you've been listening to This Week in Skating.
I have to go watch the women's free skate. Bye.